good job. All right, Book of Joshua this morning. This verse really just is a springboard, but actually I will be coming back to it. It's not quite a springboard. Joshua chapter 24. I've debated over and over the last couple of days of what text to use to sort of introduce this message, thinking of our fathers. And all the texts I consider have somehow dealt with Joshua. Some from the book of Numbers, and we'll see some different ones here. But I sort of settled on the one verse that all of us are familiar with, and I will come back to it at a later time. But anyhow, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15 says this: "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray your blessing now upon this time. Lord, I pray that you be glorified and honored. Lord, please, I pray, Lord, that you would work. Help me to say, preach exactly what you would have me to say. Lord, in the way that you would have me to say it. Help me not to get in the way of your word. And Lord, use it to strengthen us and draw us closer to you. And I do pray if there's anyone here that has never placed their faith in Christ, Lord, I pray that even this morning they repent and place their faith in Christ. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know who. It might have been one of the members of our church. I don't know who. But we don't think so. Jerry let me know before the service. On my desk this morning, I had about four packages of a cough drop, a really nice cough drop, four big packages. But somebody put it in our mailbox. So we're thinking it's somebody that follows us online and actually stopped by the church and put that in our mailbox for me to use. So anyhow, whoever did that, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. But anyhow, today, of course, is Father's Day. And I think one of the greatest things that I have enjoyed in life, hands down, of the many good things that God has given me, but perhaps one of the most, is the privilege of being a dad. Your children, of course, can be one of your greatest sources of joy, while at the exact same time being one of your greatest sources of concern. I think those things go hand in hand. Whatever it is that brings you the most joy also then has the exact same potential to bring you the greatest concern. Again, I remember the night that I did become a dad, the night Daniel was born. 2 a.m. was midnight is when I got the call out on the flight line. I was at work, working midnights at the time. And on the flight line, putting fuel on an F-15, and dispatcher to radio in, and the other guy pulled up, said, "You got to head to the hospital, your wife is there." And headed down there, and still in my uniform, and so excited. I was only, 21 years old at the time. That's how old I was. And so excited, although Brother Daniel, you need to hear this. I completely disagree with this idea of allowing dads in there. My goodness. She's going to be a different woman for about 6 hours. All right? No, I'm just kidding. You should be there and be part of the process. Marianne threw me out, then had me come back in, And it was an interesting time. But no, it actually went very well. And we were thankful for that with God's blessing and really the birth of all of our children. But then all of a sudden holding, a little child, seeing my likeness in him, and how you just knew at that moment, my world has just changed right then and there. I am now a dad. I was excited. I was nervous, praying for wisdom. And of course, the same was true when each of my children were born, all five of them. And then watching your children grow, it's an incredible experience. Seeing them say their first words, to taking their first steps, spitting macaroni and cheese out of their mouth when they realize how nasty that stuff is an incredible joy. But no, just watching them learn and grow and being able to experience life with them, getting to see their faces when they see new things and exciting things and being a part of that is such a joy. I do believe that fatherhood is one of the greatest things about life, as well as one of the greatest responsibilities that God gives us as men. The statistics of what happened where kids grow up without fathers is absolutely staggering. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71% of, exact same percentage, by the way, I'm not repeating that. 71% of pregnant teenagers come from a home without a father in place. 85% of all children with behavior disorders come from a home where a father is not in place. 90% of homeless and runaway children did not have a dad in the home. 63% of youth suicides, 85% of all youth in prison come from a home where dad is not in place. Staggering. Listen, this is clearly one of the reasons we can see why the devil wants to destroy the home, and he understands what he can do if he gets dad out of the picture and destroy marriages. The role of both father and mother together is critical. It is the way God designed it. Post-World War II, going back to that time frame, 90% of the American population grew up with both parents married. Think about that. 90%. This stat now today is just staggering. Okay? I'll get a modifier to it, but this is amazing. This I verified even this morning. I want to make sure I have this right, and I did. I have it right. Only in America, 20 to 25% of American children grow up in a home with both biological parents continuously from birth to 18. Only 20 to 25%. Now, having said that, this is still very low. It's much higher than that number. Only 63% live in a home where at least for a time frame, whether that's 10 years, 3 years, 12 years, whatever it might be, that there's a time frame when both mom and dad are present in the home. Fathers not only need to be in the home, they need to be involved in a constructive, biblical way in shaping the lives of their children. In being the instruments in which is used in their life to try and produce within their children a desire to serve God. Fathers who are willing to rise to that challenge of being a godly father. Those who recognize and see a God-given responsibility, because with that great joy comes tremendous responsibility. And so I want to pull some different things from the life of Joshua to be a help to our dads in the church and really help all of us with our Christian walk. So let's take a look at this here this morning. I have several things here that I went through, so I'll probably cover them fairly quickly. This number one, I think, is one of the most important. Turn over to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Dads, I want you to follow this. We lose our children for different reasons, and too often we look for excuses. And I think this one is truly key. Numbers 27, I'll just read the one verse. It's a section here, but the one verse is, and I'll discuss what's taking place here. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. What's taking place right here is God has just informed Joshua that he has the man who is to take his place, and that will be Joshua. He said, Moses, listen, you're going to mark your successor, the next man that will lead my people. And so what we see as we go through this, what we learn about him when God is telling Moses to grab him, the reason why the Lord is telling Moses, you get Joshua, why he is accepted, why he was the one who was selected, is because his faith was genuine. He was real. This was a guy who took his faith serious. He said, listen, I know Joshua. I know where his spirit is. I know who he is. He is real. He doesn't play a game with his walk. Fathers, if there's one thing you can do for your children, that is to live your faith before your family. Not just by, that's part of it, a faithfulness to church. That is. But it's so much more than that. Live your faith before your children. I mean, if your children were asked of the Lord, what kind of spirit does your dad have? What would they say? Or what would they describe? Let's put it this way. Let's put it in a way. What would they say is most important in my dad's life? What is it that drives him? What is it that motivates my dad? Joshua was a man who always demonstrated character and integrity before the Lord, number one, and before his family. Character counts before the Lord and your family. And our homes need men of character. Listen, dads, what your children need to see more than a large bank account, they need to see a dad who is genuine. A dad who lives his faith and puts the Lord first. And by the way, it's never about being perfect because you're not going to be. It's not. You have a sinful nature. It's not about being perfect. It's about not being fake. We don't have to be perfect as dads because we're not going to be. It's just being genuine and real. Not just making Christ a portion on Sunday morning thing here, and then it's as if you know nothing of God the rest of the week. Live your faith before your children. Be genuine and be real. The devil is a master at getting us to take the different areas. It doesn't matter who you are, as a mom or a dad or a teenager or whatever. We all have areas that we need to develop and strengthen in our life, areas of weakness, whether they're outright sinfulness or there's areas of weakness which causes us to struggle spiritually. And many times what you do is you begin to recognize those and you actually begin to then use that as an excuse to live in that way. Instead of allowing the Lord to transform you. You will. You'll say, that's my personality. This is how you know. Why don't you actually ask God, please, help me to change. You don't have to be perfect before your children, but you do need to be genuine. You need to be real. And that starts with not presenting some fake facade before your children of a fake spirituality. But simply being real. That starts with on your knees in that morning before God. God, help me, please. Humbling yourself before God, I am sorry where I failed you. Lord, this day, right now, today, help me to live my faith. Help me to honor you and to love you. Lord, please let my children see it. Joshua was genuine with his faith. Secondly, I like this one. Look over in the book of Joshua itself again. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, really for time's sake, I'm not going to read it. I think the majority of us are familiar with this passage. This is the Battle of Jericho. Jericho is shut up, and the Lord gives the command of how they're to take it. The children of Israel have entered the promised land, is what's taking place here. They have their first major test, and it is a huge one. Jericho is a walled city. It is this and this day to be able to overtake this city is an enormous challenge. The wall is huge. All the cities in this day, that's how you'd build a wall. That would be the defenses. And the wall of Jericho was well known. This is a well defended city. And so the Lord comes with the battle plan and he instructs them, "You shall compass the city, all you men of war. Go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." So he said, "Joshua, here's the game plan you're going to implement. You're going to march around the city once a day for 6 days." Then he goes on, "The seventh day, you're going to march around it 7 days. And then with the trumpets and the people with a great shout." And he says, "And the wall will fall." And so Joshua, as you know the story, Joshua follows clearly the instruction of the Lord. And the Lord honors it. Even though it didn't make sense. He followed exactly what the Lord had. And we know the story. The wall came down. It was an easy victory for the children of Israel. Easy. Because of Joshua obediently following the Lord. Now, let me make an application here to our dads. Joshua was obedient to the Lord here, even though he didn't understand it. Even though it might have been difficult and it might have been hard, even though he didn't understand it, he knew it was right. This is what God has directed. Lord, I will trust you. Amen. How often do our children see us justify our disobedience because we don't understand what is taking place and what God is doing? It's in those times that your children can see such great faith. I assure you, the Lord knows what needs to be done much better than you. Joshua, by faith, if that's what the Lord said, that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to question Him. I'm not going to argue with God. This is what He said. I've got to trust Him. What will impress your children, what will have an impact on your children, is dads, when you are obedient, even when it's hard. Even when you don't fully understand. That will make an impression. The times they can look back and say, "Wow, man, Dad really put God first there." And the truth is, the majority of children follow the pattern of their father, not the pattern of their mother. Number three. Let's turn over just a couple pages to Joshua chapter 4. This is the crossing of Jericho. So to pull this from Joshua's life now to be a help to our dads. Joshua was genuine. He was obedient even when it required faith, even when he didn't understand. He simply trusted God and did what was right because he was obedient before the Lord. And thirdly, he followed the Lord here when he set up this memorial when they crossed the Jordan River. Verse 7 says, "Then shall you answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children forever." And so they set these stones up as a reminder of the great miracle that just took place where, what was it, 40,000 or so would have crossed at this time, had went on in there. This is right before Jericho. And he says, "Listen, you set up this memorial so that when your children come to ask, you can say, this is what God did." Boy, do we need to set up some memorials in our life. Those things reminding our children or letting our children know what God has done. Us as dads, letting our children see and reminding them and telling them the stories of what God did. And listen, dads, don't make it about you. Don't turn this into some narcissistic viewpoint. Always make it about God. Set up those memorials for the Lord that your children can see. We all enjoy those times when, for lack of a better word, we make our children proud. All right? If, you know, well, you can go back and, like, where's Brother Cup? Yeah, I know he's in. He's right back there. So, yeah. For him, it's probably common because I see you grow up with baseball. But when he is there with all your children there and you hit that home run in front of your children, that's pretty good. You like that. That's good and that's right. But as you know, that's not what's most important. I mean, those things are all fine to allow our children to see those times. But it's not about telling the story how you were voted most likely to succeed in high school. It's not about telling the story of how great you did in these different events back in the day. Those are not the memorials that are going to change their life. That's not what's most important. What will have the greatest impact is the memorials when God has done something in your life. Telling them about that, letting them see it with the tears in your eyes or just the joy with which you expressed it when God was there. Show them where God was great in your life. If you continue showing them just about your greatness, you're going to teach your children. You're going to teach them that's the road they need to take. But that's not the road they need to be on. Daniel will remember this. The mark in the road in PNG. The kids weren't with me when that event took place. When we were there just a few months in country, and it was during the incredibly difficult time. The first year was just a ton of battles that had taken place. With just trying to survive living in the jungle. And if you've got to know me for 10 years, you know I am not designed for jungle living. I am not. And so we're on a trip, and I have two of the men with me from Sohon. I'm heading up to Cavey, and I'm about 4 hours up there. And remember, the hood flew. I'm going to make the story shorter for time's sake here. First, the hood flew off. We pulled off the road. Couldn't believe that. Strap it down on my vehicle with rope. We take back off. We're at the sealed road. The last about an hour, hour and a half of the five-hour drive, it was a sealed road. You could actually drive. So I'm doing about 55, 60 miles an hour on the sealed road. It's just a little two-lane thing, but there's hardly any cars. I mean, this is a little island in the South Pacific. And I'm driving down the road. All of a sudden, something really weird happened. The vehicle's like it rose and dropped. And then we see sparks and everything flying out the side. And the vehicle was incredibly hard to control all of a sudden. I'm holding on the steering wheel with all that I can. And as we look over, I can still see James sitting right next to me. And both of us, it's like everything's in slow motion. I can see my wheel up in the air. The whole wheel. I'm not exactly, it's going above coconut trees. And we're just like. And we finally come to a stop. We didn't go off. We didn't wreck. We didn't flip. The vehicle came to a stop. And finally we said, let's pray. So we prayed right there. We did not leave the car. We prayed. We get out. And I want to be honest, my stomach was a mess. I wasn't of great faith at the time. I want to throw up. I'm like, remember, there's no tow truck. There's no cell phones. I'm like, how many days am I stuck here right now? I mean, what's going to take place? How do I move my vehicle? I mean, I have no clue. My entire wheel just flew off. The front wheel. And you can look back, you can see where it carved up the sealed road about, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 3 inches wide. It just dug right into where that all the metal of the wheel assembly just driving into that sealant. We get the tire and a guy walks over. So we're in a village, at least when it happened. This guy walks over and I'm still sitting at it. I want to throw up. And the guy says, do you know where you just stopped? And there's a little structure there. I'm not kidding. It's probably about the size, going up about the size where that moose is. Maybe just a little bit wider, that portion of the wall. That's it. Little bush house on the ground. And I said, no. And so this guy's eyes are huge. He goes, this is a Bush tire shop right here. The Lord stopped us right at the tire shop. There's a few of those on the island, tire shops, as you go through. We weren't 1 foot from it. We were stopped at it. The other guy came out from the tire shop. They took off what they called starts. I don't know if that's the right word. The lugs off one off each of my other wheels, put it on that wheel, and put my tire back on. I was probably there an hour and a half, and back on the road. And then when we would drive by that, you know what that was? Ask my kids. Look, there's the mark. Reminding them what God did. That ended up working out for us for the whole island, because everybody on the island came to know the new missionary. His tire flew off, and he stopped at the tire shop. It was a reminder of what God did. You tell the stories of those times to your children, the things when God worked. Father's Day, Daniel got to one of his newer suits on. You know the story when I got my first suit. Of course, I've said it here before. That was Father's Day. I was 22, 23 years old, preaching a lot at this time, nursing homes primarily, and a few different places at the time. I'd never owned a suit yet. I had mixed match stuff, usually from Value Village and stuff like that. That's all I ever had. And I'm an E, nothing in the Air Force, so you don't have money to go buy a suit at that time. And so it was the Sunday before Father's Day. I'm in my closet and I prayed. I'm getting ready for church. The only time I ever prayed, it wasn't like it was even persistent praying. I just said, Lord, I don't have one suit. Boy, I'd love to have one by Father's Day. That was it. The Lord was just waiting for those words. Monday, I show up for visitation. Pull my car in. Earl Faulkner, our song leader, pulls up next to me for visitation. I get out of my car. He said, wait, don't go anywhere yet. I got you something. And he pulls out a suit. And he hands me a suit. Man, I was so excited. But I had to have it altered. So the Lord is so good. He wanted this to be special. And so I take it and get it altered. They called up Friday. It's ready. The cost was exactly $50. It wasn't close to fitting me, as you could tell at that time. And so they had to alter much of it. Shoulders, arms, all that. It was $50 for me. I did not have $50. I'm not kidding. I probably had $10. And then the mail comes. I have a card in the mail from my mom with a $50 bill inside of it. And then for my children to hear, this is what God did. Set up those memorials for your children, those times that God has worked in your life. That's what they need to see. In our text in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. There you have Joshua deciding with determination that him and his family would serve the Lord. So what that means is this, dads, be the spiritual leader. You don't wait until Sunday morning to decide if you're going to church. It should already be decided. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Whatever comes up, family, what we're going to do is we're going to choose the Lord. That's the way to go. It's the way to go every single time. Lord, I will trust you. And Joshua, for his family, it was in place. There was no debate. They didn't have the debates going back spiritually in their home, back and forth, because Dad was solid and steady and said, this is it. This is what we're going to do. We will serve God. Listen, the devil can get you wavering and back and forth. It'll cause a measure of instability with your own family. Determine within your family that you will serve the Lord. Make that conscious decision to lead them. Because if you're not leading your children, who will? What they need to see, what is most important in life, is God. That it's not career, that it's not money, that it's not promotion. The two loves that will greatly help your children is when they see, number one, that you love the Lord, and number two, that you love their mother. Two more, I'll give these quickly. You don't have to turn there. I'll give you the text. I think we all know it. That is Numbers chapter 14. This is where they have just returned. The spies have just returned from the Promised Land. Joshua was one of the 12 who went in. And of course, you know, they saw the giants, they came back. 10 of the spies gave an evil report, but then we see Joshua speaking. And that's what the text is. In Numbers 14, 6 through 10, he tells them, no, if the Lord be with us, their defense is departed from them. We got this. If God is on our side, this is nothing. So dads, this is an example of a man who diligently kept his eyes on the Lord and not on circumstances. You start to focus only on circumstances and you will start to make wrong decisions. You stay focused on God, focused on God, focused on Him. Trust Him. He did just that. He trusted the Lord. And as a result, God rewarded him greatly, where he was him and Caleb, the only ones of his generation allowed to go into the promised land. And what he simply believed was, regardless, even if we're facing walled cities, even if we're facing the Anakins, the giants of the day, listen, we are God's. We trust Him. What a great lesson for our children to see. And it's our job as dads to let our children know, to pull a line from that, but just to add something to it that I think they're missing just a little bit. To let our children know, you know what, you can do hard things in life. There are hard things in life. And you can do them with God. Not trusting in your own wisdom, but with the Lord. Amen. You can do hard things. We need to give that assurance to our children to let them know that if they will walk in faith and stay focused on God, that whatever they're going to face in life, they can go through it. But you take your eyes off the Lord in the middle of that storm. There's only one direction you're going. You're going to sink. Lastly, I've already mentioned the verse once, so I'm coming back to it. And that's Joshua 24:15. There's another angle I want to take from that verse, the same verse that I read, and I'll finish with this. Actually, I'm going to read it again. I think I should read it again. I'm going to read it again. We'll be done here in just a minute. Once you listen to the verse again. There's a second point I want to make from this. It says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. All right. He finishes with, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So that was my first point of that, dads, is that be the spiritual. Decide now. I will lead my family in the way of the Lord. Okay. But look at the middle verses. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on their side of the flood or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, he said this. I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're serving God. We're serving God. And we live in a culture where we have family after family making decisions based on what everybody else is doing. Just stay focused on God. Make it about Him. Trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter if other families are bowing down. You stay faithful. You stay focused on God. You stay focused on the Lord. Don't base family decisions on what everyone else is doing. Don't base family decisions simply on the circumstances. You base it on what is right. What would the Lord have me to do? We make decisions based on Bible principle, not one on what's popular. Joshua provides a great example for us. That genuine faith. The guy who was obedient, even when he didn't understand what was taking place. I'm just going to trust in God. This was the guy who made the determination. Listen, I know what I got to do. I'm going to settle it now. I will lead my family to serve God. Whatever comes up, that's the direction we're going to go, is we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. Let your children see that leadership.
Let him see that like with Joshua when he came out was pleading before the nation of Israel. Listen, we got this. What they were seeing was a man whose eyes were not on circumstances. They weren't on the giants. Even though they said, but if we go this route, think of the bad. No, we're going to stay focused. This is what God has for us. In other words, he was an example before his children of a man whose eyes were on the Lord and not on circumstances. And he was a man who would lead his family that would not be based on what was popular, what everybody else was currently doing. It would be based on what does God have for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Now let me ask this question right here. I want you to think about this. If you were to die right now, if death is to find you this afternoon, is your soul going to heaven or hell? Do you know with a certainty that it's going to heaven? You can't know that. I mean, 1 John even tells us, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know it? You say, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm not certain where I'm going to go when I die. Please pray for me. If that's you, what I'm going to ask you to do in just a second is just raise your hand. I won't call you out. I won't. Let me pray for you. Okay? Anyone here say, Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. I do want you to pray for me. If that's you, will you just slip your hand up for me real quick? Let me see it and acknowledge it, and then you can put it back down. I see some small children, but I'm not seeing anyone else. So if you put it up, I missed it. I would need you to do it again for me. All right. Christian, the principles I gave apply to all of us. And dads, obviously a message like this really do kind of step on all of our toes, but we need those times. Remember the Lord's grace, though. He's not expecting perfection. He's not. But He is looking for something that's genuine and real. The Lord dealt with your heart. Why don't you come and pray this morning? Father in heaven, bless His invitation, Lord, I pray.